Hey guys, Bionabu presents the MedTech Podcast. If you're intrigued and want to learn more about how technology is changing healthcare, then this podcast is perfect for you. If you want to learn about entrepreneurship and innovation, then stick around. My name's Ash, and welcome to the conversation. Hey guys, welcome back to the MedTech Podcast. So today we won't be discussing specifically a MedTech related topic, but very topical nonetheless. So from tomorrow, Monday the 13th of March, junior doctors nationally will be going on strike. And this is huge. This is going to affect a lot of people, whether you are a clinician, a healthcare professional working in the NHS, or whether you are a patient, it's going to be highly disruptive. And naturally, with that disruption over the next couple of days, this is going to elicit a lot of stress and anxiety. And we at Bionabu wanted to put out a message that junior doctors who are making the decision to strike over the next coming days, we fully support your decision, whether it is due to the fact you're unhappy with pay or your work-life balance, workload stress, we at Bionabu support you. And we wanted to put out this episode just to raise awareness around the importance of looking after your physical and mental well-being. I speak with Dr. Bruce, a public health consultant, also known as the Entrepreneur's Doctor. And he is on a mission to try and spread awareness about the importance of looking after yourself. We as clinicians, as entrepreneurs, are extremely busy and sometimes we neglect our own mental and physical health. Despite going into medicine as a vocation to dedicate your life to look after as many people as possible, these next few days are going to be important. We need to prioritize our own mental and physical well-being. So we fully support you. And any junior doctors and clinicians, or medical students who are feeling anxious, feeling a bit stressed, please make sure you get any needed support. I will leave my link to my socials in the description, so please reach out if you need any support. Let's get into this episode, and as always, please just make sure you hit that follow button, like, subscribe, and give the episode a rating. Thank you, guys. So welcome back, guys. I have an extraordinary guest joining me today. His name is Dr. Baruz Bayod. Sorry, let me actually ask you. How is it that you pronounce your name, Bruce?
Hey, honestly, it's how long have I lived in the UK and no one's been able to say my surname, so it's okay.
Bruce Bebod.
Call me Bruce Bebod. Call me B. But Beirut, you got it, mate.
Where's that from originally?
It's a Persian name. And then growing up in the UK, obviously since the age of five, I've struggled. So let's put it that way.
So Bruce, okay. So Bruce, aka also the Entrepreneur's Doctor, it's a pleasure having you, Bruce. So just briefly introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure, Ash, it's a pleasure to join you finally. I've been listening in on some of your conversations with friends and colleagues, and yeah, I guess we're gonna dive into deeper conversations, but briefly for those who are listening or watching, I guess, I'm a medic, public health consultant. By trade, so part-time still working as an NHS consultant. And then The other side, obviously, with the Entrepreneur's Doctor, it's literally just a formalization of stuff that I've been doing for at least 10 years on the side. So here I am today. I did my medical school up in Leeds and worked there as a junior doctor back in the 20 years ago. And then my journey took me down the uncharted paths, waters.
Sure.
So I started off finishing off my house jobs, or I guess junior doctor days. What is it now? Foundation doc, right?
Yeah,
so
foundation post.
Got my full registration and then decided to go into the world of public health, environmental health and prevention. And back then, no one talked about lifestyle medicine, but I was interested in non-pharmaceutical ways of approaching health and well-being. And long story cut short, it took me into a master's program, into a PhD, into working in a private setting abroad. So I lived in Cyprus, lived in the US. And then really family reasons brought me back to the UK. And I need to wrap this up now. And so I went back into becoming for those who are in the UK, you understand what registrar is. So to finish the special training in public health and finish that off in about 5 years ago now, 6 years ago, Oxford, and here I am.
Yeah, really great. So you've been a bit of everywhere. You've traveled around globally and ended back in, are you back in Leeds now? Or are you
no, I'm based in Wales. So
is that where you're joining us from?
I am indeed, yeah.
Great, great. And so, yeah, so I think the reason I wanted to get you on is because obviously what you're doing at the Entrepreneur's Doctor is amazing. I think it's really valuable that you're advocating the importance of taking care of yourself, both physically and mentally. And you also obviously help entrepreneurs overcome challenges in building and scale their businesses. We can obviously spread the awareness of why it is important for people to look after their mental health. Even when you're running a company, you still need to take care of yourself. But also at the same time, I want to hear about your personal journey, what led you down the consultancy route, and why it is you specifically chose public health, and what was your interest in helping to overcome any challenges that they had. So I think to begin with, talk to me about where this journey of consultancies first started, where you started helping people, scaling their businesses, but actually helping people grow their both personal and professional skills and qualities.
Okay, so yeah, and I guess that's the, you know, for those of us in the UK, when we talk about consultancy, it's different from becoming a medical or surgical consultant, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the private side business.
So,
you know, when I was working, actually, I was a student. I'm trying to reflect back when it was. So, yeah, so I was a student in Boston doing my PhD or doctorate. And I was interested in ways that we can improve population health and well-being, so public health. And obviously, at the time, I thought the only ways of doing it were in government agencies, in academic organizations, and the public setting. But I remembered that one of my master's professors, someone from MIT in Boston, he came over and taught us about how we can actually do good through entrepreneurship, through business. So it's not just about the public sector. And actually, if we want to improve health and well-being, we should place ourselves in those private settings so that at least someone speaks, you know, the voice of public health. That had just been a seed that had not really kind of flourished in any way. And fast forward, a couple of my classmates in the PhD, I noticed they were doing things. I had no idea what it was. And then someone told me, yeah, they've launched a startup and they're doing X, Y, and doesn't matter what they were doing. Bottom line, I figured out that there's a way to practice public health, improve population health beyond what we know. And it's through innovation and entrepreneurship. And this is 2011, no, even earlier, 2010. And so I was curious. Fast forward, anything that I would do when I started working, let's say in a university setting or otherwise, I would mentor students, medical students, other kinds of students, like blockchain students in Cyprus. And it was about how do you navigate the health system? Things that Bayanabu does, and maybe you'll end up doing as well. How do you navigate the health sector internationally as a startup? And I'd been doing it like unpaid, just as a friendly kind of hobby on the side. But then comes 2019 and the pandemic. It hits, and obviously you imagine you've trained all this time to do all these degrees and training programs to be ready and to be fit for purpose. And you're ready, you're working round the clock, supporting the response, and you just crash, literally, as in not, you know, burnout. And I remember that day, and for those who know me, they've heard this story before, but very briefly, it was, I can't remember exactly what time of year, it was an afternoon, sitting in this room that I'm in now, and my four-year-old came up to me. He's like, he hadn't seen me, even though I was working from home, he hadn't seen me. And he's like, what's up? And I was just exhausted. And he held my hand, literally 4 years old, looked into my eyes, and he said, Dad, can you just stop? I understand. Stop. That was the beginning of the next stage in my life, literally. And we'll get back to that if you want later on. But fast, like briefly, in a nutshell, that was the point where I realized, take some time out, nurture the soul and all of that kind of good stuff. But I realized that this is not the way to go. And I'm not alone. You know that the statistics are horrendous.
Definitely, yeah.
So this is not the way to go. What can I do at least to support myself And it came to the point that, look, I love my job. I still want to practice public health. So I still do that part time, but the intensity needs to drop. It needs to be at the speed of life rather than the speed of the demand out there. So I brought it back down to the speed of life, and it's a challenge, but I keep it there. And those other 2 days of the week, I do what I love, which is problem solve. It's creativity. It's supporting entrepreneurs. But I just want to add this, if it's okay. Like, when you begin, like, thinking about what, let's say in a business, like you want to set up your own business, let's say, you think you know who you want to serve. You think you know what they need. And it's definitely what they want. But when you start working with them, you start unraveling what they really need. And they may still not realize they need it, but you realize that's what they need. And one of the common themes of every conversation I've had with every entrepreneur has been the non-technical stuff, the non-marketing stuff, the non-branding stuff. All of us talk about that. What really people need support with is the other stuff. It's the soft skills. It's the burnout, sure. It's the overwhelm management and prevention. I'll stop there. I could go on and on, but that's what people...
Yeah. I think that's an extraordinary story, what you just told about your four-year-old son coming into the room, holding your hand, saying, "Dad, just stop." And as a father, that must have been quite a heartfelt moment for you, having your son who a couple of years ago wasn't able to speak, but he's actually able to understand how stressed out you are, and just to take your hand and say, "Dad, come on, just stop now." It's really powerful. And I come from a family where my dad practices clinically. He's an ENT consultant. And when I was growing up, he was doing his PhD, and I remember seeing how stressed he was doing his PhD, and then also at the same time working through the consultancy rankings. And so I really appreciate that. So take me back to how you were feeling before you had this enlightenment that you needed to take a step back, focus on your own mental health, focus on your own well-being and time with family. Where was your mindset before that moment, and now compare that to after?
I think and this is funny, like you've probably done this too, but listeners were, you know, the audience will have done this. When we apply for jobs, especially in the health arena or any of these public good arenas, we love to use the words passion. And I've read a lot of application forms. I'm passionate about X. And I truly am passionate about what I do. And that's where it goes wrong. So fast forward, and you're really, because you're passionate, you don't realize how tired you are. You're running on adrenaline and fumes, essentially. And it doesn't take much to drop from that. And I remember, actually, when I was a fellow in the US Centers for Disease Control, so in Atlanta, and when in the first month or two, we were doing a training on responding to major incidents. So a couple of the other fellows who'd responded to the September 11th attacks in New York from a public health standpoint, they were there working on us on a case study. He told us that when you're responding to these major incidents, number one, think about you. And number two, think about your team. Look after each other.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm a big advocate for mental health awareness, just because me personally, I've always suffered with anxiety from a very, very young age. But it was only recently where I've calmed it down and realized that, you know what, it is something that I can't necessarily fully control. It's always going to be part of me. I've always had this freestanding anxiety, and probably made worse by the pandemic, but it's about managing that anxiety better and actually making the most of that anxiety to drive you and motivate you forward through life. And so I think when we mentioned burnout during the pandemic and how clinicians were during the pandemic, I don't think people fully appreciate it unless they were on the front line volunteering or seeing what the workload was like in the hospital. And so from your perspective, how did you manage that time?
I'll answer that, but I want to get to a point that you just raised, and it's related, so we'll come back to that anxiety issue. So I didn't manage it well. So I was obviously in the public health that's behind the scenes, but still that was very busy. It's a different level of stress. And at that time, you're mixing your work, which is now suddenly not even 9 to 5, but usually it's longer hours, right? It's now around the clock. the tensions are high. The attention is crazy high for good reason, from media, from public sector, from patients. And meanwhile, you haven't got any rest, but more importantly, you're uncertain about what the future holds for your safety, for your family's safety. Who knows what's about to hit, right? No one knew.
So
that's the scary thing. And I wasn't managing, and I don't know how I could have managed. Reflecting on that, and I want to, if it's okay, to pivot back to the anxiety issue.
Yeah.
Coming to the realization that, okay, statistics are bad. So I'm an epidemiologist. Statistics are bad in terms of burnout and overwhelm and fatigue amongst health professionals, right? But what makes us different? What, let's say it's 30, 40% are overwhelmed, quite a high percentage are burning out. But what about those 50, 60%? What makes them unique? Is it their working conditions? Is it? So that's what I'm exploring as we speak. And I genuinely believe, and not just believe, but I'm exploring it, is that circumstances can be whatever they are, but how we process that and how we think about it is what really affects us deep down. And that can change. You know, just think about this. Like, if we ask you or the audience, like, when was the last time you felt the way you would love to feel all the time? Right?
Yeah.
And how did you feel? And I'm assuming, I mean, do you want to respond to that or shall I get?
Yeah, I can respond. The last time I felt how I wanted to feel is probably when this Christmas I went on holiday, and we went really fortunate enough to go to the Maldives.
Oh, nice.
And so I remember just sitting by the pool with a cocktail in my hand and just chilling out, reading a book. And I just felt, you know what? I have no stress at all right now, and no worry in the world, no care. My mind was silent. And I thought, you know what, this is a nice feeling. I wouldn't mind feeling like this on a day-to-day basis.
And how did the world and the problems around you look and feel like back then?
The world just, I remember looking out the sunset and really appreciating the world in all its beauty. Yeah, I know it's quite cliche, but I guess the best way to describe it is the fact that I was present in the moment. Okay.
So to build on that, I mean, the opposite is true when we're dealing with stressful scenarios, right? At work, in our studies, exams, and so on, in our relationships, who knows? And the whole, where I'm at right now, and this will evolve, right? But where I'm at right now is that to be in a good place to make the right decisions, you need to be in that state of mind where you were in the Maldives, and I want to go there right now.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But you can be there in an instant. It's not that hard to do. It takes practice, but you can be in that state of mind. And when you're in there, it's not about saying, I was struggling with this for quite some time, thinking, is it just all this external stuff has nothing, you know, it's my fault? Is it my fault? But that's not the answer. The answer is that if you're being affected and impacted and you're feeling anxious and stressed, you're going to make really bad decisions professionally, alone. So if you want to make the right decision and solve problems around you and creatively, and maybe create a better work environment, or, you know, make decisions for your own career and personal life, you don't want to be making those decisions in that state of mind. How can we quickly get into a state of mind where we're naturally built for that? As babies, we're born happy and creative and inquisitive. How can we get back to that quickly so that we can make the right decisions and solve the problems around?
And just to add to that, I know from personal experience that I often get, when I'm a bit stressed out, too much going on, whether it is academically or also in personal life, I get this brain fog where I can't think straight, and it leads me to making impaired decisions that maybe if I'd been in the right state of mind, I wouldn't have made them. So what I found quite beneficial is homing in on your five senses. So yeah, I'll go for a walk. And I recommend everyone try this, because honestly, it's done me a world of good. If there's ever a point where you take a step back and realize that you're not in the right mental space, go for a walk and firstly focus on what you see, and then focus on what you hear, what you smell. And I think that's really, really powerful, really beneficial. And so I think it brings us on nicely to what you're doing with the entrepreneurs, doctors. You're helping people, you're helping clinicians, you're helping entrepreneurs think how they would want to think on a day-to-day basis, right? You're helping them make the best decisions that they can.
So can I just say thank you for saying that so beautifully, because I don't know where I've written that, but it's exactly that. That's the essence of it. It's thinking about your thinking and making better decisions. And it's an evolving journey. And I'll be transparent with you, Ash, because, you know, for you as well, but also others who might be thinking about this. I'll tell you now, I'm writing a book, right? And the book is literally for my son as a thank you gift to him because of what he did for me back then. But it's not written for him at the age of 7. It's written for him when he gets to your age or my age when I burn out. And it's essentially, how do we navigate our decisions? How do we navigate our problems, whether in work or business, and indeed the rest of our lives? And that's in essence what I'm doing, even though from a marketing perspective, it's always been, how do I help health entrepreneurs create a healthier, happier world? What I've ended up doing all the time is doing the former. So it's always about, how do we help ourselves along the struggles? And it doesn't just affect entrepreneurs, but there's something about entrepreneurially minded people in employment scenarios that they also struggle. So it's a mix of the two.
Yeah, definitely not. And I think to have an entrepreneurial mindset, you often, obviously, you have to put in the hours when it maybe is at the expense of loved ones, and because you have this greater vision in your head, and you have to have the drive and motivation to do whatever it takes to make this vision that you have a reality. Did you want to?
I have to be careful because I'm your guest. I don't want to be asking you questions. But
no. I mean, what I love about this podcast is honestly, it's not an interview. It's just a conversation. So if there's a way where you can also, you disagree with something I say, I'd love for you to correct me, and then we can have a conversation from there.
Yeah. So it's not about that. It's more, I was curious. You're interested in entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah.
What is it that interests you about entrepreneurship?
I guess I've always loved solving problems. So specifically with the podcast, I know this isn't a business, but what I found in medical school is there isn't much exposure to technologies and innovation in healthcare. And so part of solving that problem was, obviously, I started as president of the Medtech Society in Nottingham to spread awareness. But then I thought, you know what, that's specifically limited to just Nottingham University. I want to create a platform, a solution where anyone around the UK or globally, whether they're a student or junior doctor, wants to learn about innovation in healthcare, they can learn from through my conversations that I have with people. So to bring it back to your question, I think that what makes me want to be an entrepreneur is just, I love solving problems. That's specifically one example.
Would you say it has to be in a business setting, or it could be as an entrepreneur?
No, not necessarily a business setting, just in general, just helping people beyond just clinically as well. Because I guess one thing I did find, I've done a lot of volunteering in the past, even during COVID, I volunteered at Norfolk Park Hospital ICU. And I really did appreciate that one-to-one connection you have with patients in terms of helping them there and then. But also at the same time, I want to help a broad range of people at once. I don't know if that's, I guess the way I foresaw doing that is building a solution that addresses a problem globally and everywhere. And that's kind of the premise of an entrepreneur.
I love that response. And the reason I say it's for the benefit of the audience as well. So I was having a similar conversation with Dr. Chetty Pally. He runs the Innovator MD, who you should speak to, by the way. But he had a similar take that he wanted to have a bigger impact, right, out of the public.
Yeah.
And it sounds so familiar, because when I was less than 20 years ago, I was thinking about public health, but all I could think about public health was p-values and statistical tests and, you know, study design. And even though I do that for a living, I hated that part of my medical education. It was the most boring set of classes ever. And I taught medical students, and I see their eyes falling asleep.
When you hear statistics and
regression,
p-value, all of that, you're just like, oh.
And the problem with medical education, and we don't need to get into this, but briefly, the problem with undergraduate medical education in the world of public health is that we're teaching medical students what's under the hood. Who cares what's under the hood? Let them drive the car, right? And medical students, as soon as I talk to them about entrepreneurship and innovation and teach the same things as I do in public health, by the way, suddenly their eyes light up. Suddenly they come to the front of the class and ask me questions about it. And I still teach them public health principles, which are not about p-values, sure, by the way. It's about how do we identify problems in health systems that's not limited to healthcare? How do we come up with creative solutions for those? And then how do we gather a team or multiple organizations to work towards that to bring it to life? The challenge is a lot of us want to, we see a specific problem and we see a specific solution, and that's what drives us to a business or entrepreneurial drive. Mm. We want that freedom to do what we want with it rather than follow a set of rules. If you're ever thinking about getting into entrepreneurship, if you're ever thinking about leaving your job or changing career, think about these things. Many of us, at least from the medical profession that I know, many of us pivot into entrepreneurship for the wrong reasons.
And what are the wrong reasons that you found?
I'll give you one example. We spent so much time deciding that we want to become doctors. This is just for medics right now. We spent so much time going through all the applications, the work experience, right? You're towards the end of your medical education. And it goes on after that, right? It's been 20 years since medical school. So suddenly something hurts. Over time, it's been building up, but there's a trigger. And we're looking for an escape. And we have no idea what this new world is all about. We think it's a dream. We think it's the land of the free. And we just want to try it out and test it out, not knowing what the dangers are around there. And I've seen a ton of medics hurt by entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So it's about knowing, go into it, because we need more medics in the world of entrepreneurship and we need more entrepreneurs in the world of health. But just do it for the right reasons. Don't go into it thinking it's a panacea and it's going to solve all your problems.
Yeah, definitely. And I think amongst the younger generation now as well, I guess people look at entrepreneurship is a way of almost taking control of your life and you're almost your own boss. But you know what? I don't see it like that. I see entrepreneurship as a way of creating the biggest impact possible. So, I really love that we've gotten to speak a bit about that. So let's pivot now onto, I guess, maybe some practical strategies that healthcare entrepreneurs or clinicians can use to improve their well-being. So we spoke a bit about my ways that I focus on mindfulness or meditation, whether it is going for a walk and just focusing on five senses. But what are the practical strategies that you've taught that have been quite effective for different people?
When I began this journey, I talked about four pillars when we want to talk about my experience of burnout, for example. And you know, I use the analogy of a building. So the foundation for me was about getting the mindset right. And it's through those things that you just described. Then the next level up was to get the architecture of the building right. And that's through nutrition and, you know, diet. And if you want some supplements, for example, the next level up from that is the engineering. And it was more along the lines of physical activity, for example, and also brain games, things like that. And then it got to the ventilation. The final one was the ventilation system, which was about our environment, mainly like things like air quality, but indoor and outdoor. But there's other things in our environment, our social environment, our friends, our wider community, both in terms of the hazards, but also the health promoting aspect of it. So it's all those four things. Once we get a better sense of how our minds work and what makes us thrive and feel more alive. As babies, we're naturally curious. We want to learn, we want to play, and we're baseline happy, not ecstatic, we're just happy, right? That gets drawn out of us through schooling, through exams, through career ladders, and all the above. And so it's very easy to go back into that innate sense of well-being. It's very, very easy. And then to drive that energy, there's more to this, but we can talk about that later. To drive that energy into, instead of creating things that harm us, to start creating things that are good for the world. and not creating them so that we can hopefully, because a lot of us do this, we go into business, we start a new career, hoping we'll get happy and fulfilled. But actually, that's where we begin with. So anything we do from there is just creating it because we want to solve problems, just because we want to help people. It's a different mindset, and it just makes being happy and fulfilled so much easier without meditation.
And this is probably going to be a difficult question for you to answer, but you mentioned there briefly about, I'm not sure the exact term you used, but you said something about unlocking your mind. Yeah. So from my perspective, that is probably the hardest part of improving your well-being, is that initial step of actually understanding your own brain and the way your mind works. So what advice would you have for someone who is identified now that, you know what, that I need to take a step back, I need to focus on my own well-being, but where did they first begin? How do they start? How do they understand what works for them?
Yeah, it is an exploration. We each have to go through our own journey. And obviously, if you're listening to this, and we've got to put the disclaimer out, right? Go and see a licensed physician if you've got a concern. The main thing to understand is that we're living, or we're feeling, basically our thoughts and our thinking. That's our experience from a day to day. Whether someone at work does something that bugs us, sure, it's annoying, but it's what we think about it that makes the difference. A lot of books out there and philosophies and frameworks are about positivity, positive thinking, negative thinking, and reducing one over the other. It's impossible. You can't do that. I haven't ever seen it work in me, right? So once we get to the point of understanding how the mind and thinking and thought works to then drive our reality, or what we perceive as reality, then it's about how we work with those concepts. And very simply, it's understanding that we can rise above our thinking. I know this sounds really wishy-washy, but we can go into more depth. Here's an analogy. I'll leave you with this one. So imagine you and I are standing on a roadside and there's buses passing by, right? Each of those buses that are passing by are different thoughts that come and go out of our, it's not in our control. They'll come and go, right? Normally, what we normally do is jump on every single bus and just take the ride to wherever it's going to go. And that's the dangerous journey of jumping onto every single thought and going wherever it takes us. But we can step aside and say, no, we don't want to go to that bad place. We want to go to a good place. And let that negative thought just pass. It'll pass if you leave it. And just hop on the bus that takes you into the right direction. If you trust your gut, your instinct, your intuition, it will take you to the place you want to go.
Sure. Yeah, I love that analogy. It's almost like you put your hand out for the bus that you put your hand out and stop the bus that you want to get on, not these bad negative thoughts that you've been feeling. And so, how can your services at The Entrepreneur's Doctor, in terms of coaching, consulting, and training, help someone, train someone to stick their hand out for the right bus?
That's a cool one. So it's, you know, to begin with, there's two main ways that I work with anyone interested in an entrepreneurship, especially healthy entrepreneurship. One is problem solving. So people come to me when they're stuck with any aspect of their work. And we tackle it. It doesn't always have to be about psychology or spirituality. It can be tangible problems in the business itself. But then it's also what I love, this newer service that I've been putting together, is where we spend a longer period of time together and go through a few pillars, right? So the first one, depending on what order folks want to go through, the first one is along the lines of what we just talked about. And usually that very first call, those who I've worked with get an insight. Sometimes that's enough. That's all they need. But once you've got that foundation right, it's about understanding, okay, how do we actually, this goes to the tangible side of the business. How do we actually find out what is the problem we're solving? Who is it that we want to help? But what is the best way, not only to solve that problem, but optimize to grow and scale your business by design, right? So it's getting back to the business. And then it gets into the marketing and the sales aspects of that, but goes back to fundamentally making sure that this entire business model is fit for purpose, not only to scale, but also to help you to avoid overwhelm and burnout. So it's like a two-pronged approach to making sure we help people through our solutions, but let's not lose our own health and well-being along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I think having that focus on your health and well-being as an equal part to obviously not just scaling the business, but it almost goes hand in hand, is what sets you guys differently at The Entrepreneur's Doctor. Because I think it's being talked about more and more as we get into 2023, that how important mental health is and how important well-being is, but still it's not talked about enough, especially amongst professionals. There is somewhat a culture that I've found of it still makes you a bit weaker and people still might judge you, but that's not the case at all. It's completely natural for people to have negative thoughts, and it's completely natural to have self-doubt, stuff like that. And so I love that you're working with that hand in hand in people who in healthcare wanting to build and scale their solutions. I'm just curious as well. So a lot of the stuff you talk about, I would say the word I would say is quite spiritual. So do you mind me asking, are you quite a spiritual person?
That's the funny thing. So this is a personal question, but I'll share it because it's open. I don't assign to a religion, first of all. I've always believed in a higher power, just didn't know what it was. So you could say I'm spiritual. I don't mind sharing this. There's been times in my life, whether it's divorce in the first marriage, whether it's our son being born too soon, or whether my dad getting sick, or whether there's conflict and war and having to move country and all the above, when you start thinking, who is this guy controlling things, right? And then you see bad stuff happening on a day-to-day basis and you start losing faith. But then you start realizing that what we're taught, at least this is my impression of it, we each have our own beliefs, but what we're taught about this higher power isn't the reality of the situation. The way I see it, at least, and this personal opinion, is that this higher power is this pure, creative energy, full of potential, basically. I mean, come on, it's created all of the things we see around us.
Sure. Yeah.
And the way I see our role as entrepreneurs, as health professionals, as anyone, is to co-create with that creative energy and basically bring stuff to life that adds value to people's lives. That's it. So we're working hand in hand with that spiritual energy.
Sure. And I think that's a lovely concept as we touch up it and end the podcast with. It isn't, you don't necessarily need to believe in a higher power or have faith in a certain religion. It's keeping that mindset that, you know what, everything has been, whether you believe in God or not, it's just everything is created, and take that creative energy into your work, whether it is your clinician or even you work in finance, completely different sector. Let that creative energy channel your thought process. Really great. And so just as we touch up, any key takeaways, any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with, anyone that wants to get in touch, how can they do that?
By all means. I mean, I'm sure you'll leave contact info and the website.
Definitely.
But Ash, just personally to you, I love your questioning. I love the way you approach this. Very professional, and highly recommend anyone to be a guest on your podcast, and look forward to seeing
Thank you very much.
This.
Thank you. So it's been great having you, Bruce, and definitely let's stay in touch.
Happy to.